Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message. And grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, on Thursday of this week, I traveled out to Red Feather, an older member of our congregation, a longtime member, Bob Miller, was on his deathbed. And Bob Miller, on Saturday evening, I guess really Saturday morning, excuse me, early Saturday morning, 1 a.m., he died. Bob was a very strong man whose body had failed him in recent years. He had Parkinson's for many years. But over the years here at Our Savior's, Bob taught me something about our Christian lives. And in fact, I knew about Bob before I came to Our Savior's as well. See, Bob was a former bishop of the Pacifica Synod in the Lutheran Church, the LCA. That's out in California, Southern California area. So there was a time not so long ago when Bob sat as bishop with a church in California that was pondering closing its doors for good. They were going to sell the building, end what they had. The community had changed around them. It seemed to many of them like a war zone where they were. It was in the heart of gang territory. Poverty had overwhelmed the area. Crime had become the number one industry. Members first moved away, then they just stopped coming altogether. Those left had a very real fear. It was a very real fear. Can we stay open at all? Is it safe to be open as a church here? Can we afford to interact in this community any longer with these people? Their first instinct, driven by fear, was close the doors, move away. And they almost did that. They talked about doing that. They even made a vote, that small group with the bishop. But the Holy Spirit was present there, and somehow the group said, can we wait and talk about this just a little bit more? Maybe there is something new we are called to. And Bob and that group that day, they were wrestling with the words of Jesus, probably some of the same words we read today. You see, no one would blame them for closing the doors, but was this what God was calling them to? Today, there is a thriving mission in Southern California, San Bernardino, California. In that place where they pondered closing the doors are a mix of homeless drug addicts, some rehabilitated, some not, some illegal aliens that are looking for a safe place to rest, to hear God's word, families who have gang members, some families who don't. The church that feared staying there is now blessed by its relationship to the people there. There are 15 homes that the church now owns in the area. They provide transition housing for those trying to leave the streets and to AIDS patients. There's a medical clinic on the property that they have now given away to an outside organization that provides care for the people in the area for free. There are after-school programs for children in the area. There are meals provided for those who need them. In the winter months, the church floor is opened up for the homeless community to offer a safe, warm place for them to sleep at night. Its choir balcony has no choir anymore. It's now a place that they store clothes for the poor. It's weekly sorted. They open it up to the community weekly. The Sunday school rooms, they don't have Sunday morning classes anymore, but they do have classes that teach English to those who want to be able to get better jobs. See, the focus of the community had changed. The focus of this church had to change. But they knew the church could not abandon God's people exactly where they were. And where they were not always the perfect places. We're not always where things were right. As we ponder living in the gray again, this question for the whole church to ponder, we turn to the Bible today and look at Jesus and his teachings and ask, are Jesus' teachings black and white, or are they in the gray too? And I ask, as we look, can we say that we don't know what to do? As we turn our ears to Jesus himself, we listen. But I think very quickly, we actually find as we read through the scriptures what Bishop Bob Miller found. There is some gray in our world, but it's pretty hard to misinterpret Jesus here. Jesus and his teachings doesn't beat around the bush. And it isn't just in today's teachings. As I pondered this word, I looked to some more scripture. I turned to Matthew 25. I want to read this aloud to you. I like this scripture specifically because not only does it kind of ask that question, is this black and white or gray? I like it because the disciples asked a clarifying question. And that clarifying question made it even more clear if they needed it. From Matthew 25, Jesus said, "Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed, my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me.' And then the righteous will say to him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? When was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.'" You see, the gray in our lives, it's there. There's a whole lot of gray, but it belongs to us, not to Christ Jesus. It's our struggle to live out the gospel message in a very gray world, to know how to respond in this world. The how can be difficult, but not the what in our struggle. It's our struggle to overcome our fear and be God's people in this day and in this time. That is what God calls us to. The danger of living in the gray is that we can be frozen into complacency and apathy. Our fears can bring us to build walls to those who are different from us. This place without clarity and a struggle to know how to act and respond in our world, it's where we find ourselves today. But if it is all in the gray, then what are we? And who are we? But though Christ enters the gray, Christ's presence is clear to those who live in the gray. As to where Christ goes, where Christ will be, we have very clear directions. Don't let gray paralyze you today. Don't let gray be an excuse not to act in our world. The gift of grace that we have in Christ Jesus is that God calls us out there, but says God will be with us. So step out in love and trust in God's grace. The how are we going to do this today? I wish I had a clear answer. It's something that we are challenged to respond to, just like Bob Miller was challenged with his church group long ago. But the freedom in Christ Jesus is that God's grace is challenging us to action, not perfection in our actions. God is calling us to go and be with the people of God. God is calling us to overcome our fears and be with those who are in need. I want to end with another story from Bishop Bob Miller. About 8 years ago, he was beginning to battle the beginning stages of dementia. He was mostly with it, but he went in different directions quite a bit like me. He said to me out of the blue, "You see, Michael, when we die," almost crying, "when we die, Michael, we proclaim to the world that we believe in the sure and certain hope in the resurrection." Think about that, Michael. At death, we proclaim to the world a hope. We end our lives resting on a hope. Bob reminded me in that moment how even in death, we rest in this precipice of whether or not God is real. And we wonder about those who are hurting and struggling in our world. How can we share this hope? So I'd like to change Bob's words for just a moment to something that I can say to all of you. Not just when we die. When we live, we are called to proclaim to the world that we believe in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. We rest our proclamation today on a precipice that God is real. And I ask you to look how you're living that out. Jesus asks you to look how you are living that out. Are you doing that today? What is God calling you to tomorrow? Amen.